You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Numbers of Psalms. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Listen, a psalm of David. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Yes. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. From these five verses, and our emphasis is on the fifth verse, we lift our theme, when midnight becomes day. When midnight, yes, becomes day. We are looking at this metaphorically as well as literally. Midnight, yes, yes, yes. The society in which we live in today, the climate of our world as well as this nation is in turmoil. Yes, sir. The hearts of men have waxed cold.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And we are living with a lot of anxiety. Yes, yes, yes. We come to church, but the church don't seem to be in us. Yes, 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 yes. Do you trust God? Do you really trust God? Listen, as one of the greatest collection of songs, prayers, and poetry, the book of Psalms expresses the deepest passions of humanity. In these passages, we can hear the psalmist's desperate cry in the midst of despair, but also the ecstatic praise for, yes, his, yes, provisions and comfort. We can hear David pouring out his soul in confession, but also bubbling over, yes, with joy. The Psalms leads us through the valley and peaks of human experiences. But in the end, they guide us to the praise of our loving Creator. Now this Psalm is a song of David for the dedication of the temple. David may have written this Psalms when he dedicated a runner's thrashing floor, which became the future site for the temple of Jerusalem. After God stopped the great plague, he used to discipline David with a serious illness and the death of the people of Israel by the death angel. Now, it references 1 Chronicles, the 21st and 22nd chapter, as well as the 30th chapter. And you read it, and you read it very prayerfully, you will discover that in this chronicle, this record of accounts of history,
yes,
in the life of Israel and its kings who were in leadership at the time, and David was in leadership. But you read that 21st chapter and that first verse, you will see where Satan, yes, had incited David, had influenced and enticed David to disobey God. Yes, he had. Not only did he disobey God, but he ignored Joab, who he ordered to go take a census of the people whom I am a leader of. He commanded his generals, y'all go and let me know how many soldiers I have. You know, he got a little attitude going on here, a little pride working on the inside. You can relate to that, can't you? Sometimes when we think we're doing just fine, we're doing a great job, we're doing all of this. And notice I'm using the personal pronoun in the plural, we. And we left out God. Yes, that's what David was doing. And it lets you know in that seventh verse, God was displeased with David. And Joab knew it and said, we don't have to do this. These are God's people that he have placed under you to serve the nation of Israel.
Yes, sir.
Yes. But David ignored the advice of his commander. And as a result of that, God sent his servant, Gad. You go tell David, I'm going to punish him. Not only am I going to punish him, but I'm going to punish the nation of Israel for your sins. Listen, he said, but I'm going to give you three choices. Yes. 3 years. Yes. This is his choice. 3 years of famine in the land. Or, listen, Lord, have mercy. Listen what he said. 3 months of devastation at the hands of your enemy. Or 3 days of the wrath of God by the death angel in the land. You got a choice. Guess what David said? He repented, first of all. And can I side by that just for a minute? Listen. Yes, Lord. You see in this, you see God's mercy.
Yes, sir.
Even in God's discipline, he's merciful. Yes. Well, look at it. You disobey God, but yet and still, God is willing to give his leader a choice of punishment. What you talking about? I don't know about you, but when my granddaddy and my mama got ready to punish me, I didn't have no choice. My granddaddy told me to go get the razor strap, and it seemed like it was an inch thick, even though that's a hyperbole now. It wasn't that thick, but it sure seemed like it to me. He didn't give me a choice in the matter. No. And my mama seemed like she wanted the thickest branches in the land. But David had a choice. And David said, I would rather fall under the hand of God than under the hand of my enemy. Yes. So you see, the lesson to be learned from this is. The discomfort, yes, of God's discipline only lasts for a moment. But the grace, yes, of God. Listen, you find that in that fifth verse. The grace of God, God's favor, lasts a lifetime. Yes, God's anger is a sharp pain that warns you, yes, to turn from sin. You see, it's like a shot given by a doctor. It may hurt for a moment, but it will remedy your problem. I'm just talking about the other side of midnight. Yes, it's when you can celebrate on the other side of midnight. Yes. You see, only after you have gone through a midnight experience can you appreciate daylight. Oh, what you talking about, Reverend? Listen, if you will, for a minute, just let me, I beg to reason with you, just for a minute. It seems like,
yes, sir.
When you get lonely, you've been in that position. Yes, a lot of you, I'm going to your house now. You've been lonely, but it's nothing like that loneliness at midnight. It seems like the love Jones come down on you. Yes, I know what I'm talking about now. That love Jones hits you at midnight. Yes, it does. You want to call that girlfriend or boyfriend that you thought you loved so much because you might be hearing Wilson Pickett. Yes. Luther Vandross. Yes. Beyonce Knowles. Or whoever your favorite artist is singing that love song. But it seems like it's just bad at midnight. Oh, yeah. Maybe you dealing with an ailment. Yes, Lord Jesus. You have that back pain, that knee pain, them headaches, them stomach aches. And you're tossing and turning. Oh, night long. It's at midnight that it seemed to bother you the most. But the interesting thing about David and his plight was that David thought he had it all together. And you know, deep down in the soul, there are some dark places that Satan will find to fool you in that midnight hour. This text denotes contrasting periods of time and contrasting periods of conditions and circumstances. Midnight is the transition period from one day to the next. Yes. It's the moment when the date changes. It is the halfway point between sunset, yes, and sunrise. It's the plateau of darkness and dawn. Midnight, I tell you. It's that pivotal point when conditions and circumstances changes. And it seems that midnight, yes, is in fact the opposite of noonday. Darkness and light, the foolish and the wise, consider, if you will, Solomon. In Ecclesiastes, the book of wisdom, as he reasoned concerning life and life circumstances. Listen from the New Living Translations at Ecclesiastes 2, 13 and 14. I thought wisdom is better than foolishness. Just like light is better than darkness. For the wise can see where they are going, but fools walk in the dark. Yet I saw the wise and the foolish share the same fate. Yes, yes. Solomon, it said, wait a minute, it rains on the just like the unjust. And what good is me having all of this wisdom and yet and still I have an appointment with death? That's all he's reasoning about. But he said, wait a minute, let me help you to understand one thing. And he concludes in that 12th chapter, I believe it is. He said, now hear the conclusion to the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Yes, we're going to die. I didn't come here to stay. But I'd much rather be on the Lord's side. When I press that dying pillow, than to be a fool, for only a fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Yes, I'm right about it. What you talking about? Listen, we feel the wind as it passes, but we can't catch, hold of it or keep it. In all of our accomplishments and good feelings, they are only temporary. Security and self-worth are not found in accomplishments, but in the love of God. Think about this, if you will. What you value most. Solomon realized that wisdom alone cannot guarantee eternal life with the Lord. Wisdom, riches, and personal achievements are of little value after death. We should not build our lives on perishable pursuits, but build on the solid foundation of God. You see, the insurance of investing in wealth and health do not surpass the assurance, of investing in God's will and spiritual wealth. I'm not pursuing the riches or insurance of this world, nor insurance in longevity on this life's journey. But like Paul, I am pursuing, a quality life in Christ Jesus. You see, assurance of eternal life in God's kingdom. No insurance is a contract of probability. And assurance is a guaranteed fact. I'm reminded of the gospel hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Get this now. He says, I am an inheritor, of salvation, purchase of God. Born, thank you, Jesus, of his spirit. Washed. Woo! Washed in the blood, I tell you, of the Lamb. What you talking about, Reverend Register? Thank you, Jesus. Midnight is when the predators come out. Yes. At midnight, Satan and his imps goes on the prowl for prey. Are you a prey or are you a soldier in God's army? Watch out now. Be careful who you are. When your troubles seem overwhelming and you are at your weakest state, the enemy attack. His method of operation is deception, distraction, and enticement. He appeals to your physical needs and desires. And if you're not careful, you'll get comfortable in your current state. And you find yourself falling prey to Satan's enticements. Satan is clever, I tell you. And he will appeal to your physical needs. I'm talking about those physical cravings we have. And sometimes it just slips up on you. Oh, come on now, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes when you lay down in the bed at night, you're not thinking about what you used to do. You're not thinking about what you used to be involved in. But if you're not careful, you can go into one of those deep sleeps and have one of those dreams. Oh, Lord Jesus, watch out. Don't get uncomfortable now. Lord have mercy. I know my wife gonna hate this, but I got to say this. I was sleeping and I was making all kinds of sounds, I guess. And she told me, I ain't telling it all now, but and she told me, she told me if you call the wrong name, I was gonna break your neck. Pastor, thank God for timing, temperament, and tone. I said, no, no, baby. I was dreaming about you. Yes. Yes. You gotta watch though. Them dreams, Satan will slip in on you anytime. He entice you with possessions and power. Oh, there's a craving for prestige in our society. We want to be big eyes and no little U's. Yes, we do. Yes, we have to watch those things and the deception of pride. Pride is dangerous. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. We must guard against these attacks through prayer and faith in God. Jesus is our best example. He knows firsthand what experiences we are going through and the struggles that we have on this life journey. Yes, Jesus on one occasion had his disciples to understand that in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have, yes, thank you, Jesus. I said, I have. I'm not talking about Deacon Kearns, but I'm talking about Jesus. I'm not talking about Reverend O'Rear, but I'm talking about Jesus. He said, I have, I tell you, overcome the world. Thank you, Jesus. And Hebrews 4 and 15 reminds us, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Remember Jesus in his wilderness experience. He overcame the attack against him by Satan at his weakest point. We serve a God, I tell you, that is able to open blinding eyes. We serve a God, I tell you, that is able to raise up, bow down here. Midnight, I tell you, is when our condition seems most difficult. Midnight is when troubles seem to be on every side. Midnight, I tell you, is when you seem the most lonely. Do you feel helpless sometimes and weak sometimes? Well, you feel like you are drowning in deep waters and threatened by the enemy on every side. But remember, God is our light in the valley of darkness. He is able to rescue us. He's able to protect us. He's able to hold us steady in the palm of his hands. When we feel as though we are drowning in a sea of trouble, David expressed his love and appreciation for God concerning his condition. When God rescued him, he said it in his prayer. Yes, from the New Living Translation of Psalms 18, he reached down from heaven and rescued me. He drew me out of the deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from those who hated me and were too strong for me. They attacked me at a moment when I was in distress. But the Lord, thank you, Jesus, the Lord supported me. He led me to a place of safety. He rescued me because his delight is in me. Our midnight struggles, I tell you, could be because of God's discipline for our disobedience, or because of circumstances that God may get the glory. In our text, we learned from David's experience as the leader of Israel and the extent of God's judgment and God's grace. We got to recognize that we are a city that sit on a hill. We are the church, I tell you, the light of the world. And we ought to be standing on the principles of God. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. Regardless of your midnight experience, thank you, Jesus. I don't mind going through the midnight experience. The word of God have taught me it's just for a season. Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. But Jesus, that lily of the valley, Jesus, that bright and morning star. Listen at this. Jesus came into the world as a light for us all. He healed the sick. He raised the dead.
He opened blinded eyes, and Jesus knew he had an appointment with death in the Garden of Gethsemane. The mob crowd took him. Yes, they did. They marched him from judgment hall to judgment hall. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. He never said a mumbling word. That same Jesus, that light that shines in darkness, that bright and morning star. They placed the crown of thorns on his head. They whipped him all night long. Oh yes, they marched him out to Calvary. They nailed his hands, they riveted his feet. He never said a mumbling word. Glory to the Lamb of God. They raised him up, stretched him wide. He hung out there for you and I. Oh, after a while, he laid his head in the locks of his shoulder. He gave up the ghost. They put it down. They buried him in a borrowed tomb. Look at Jesus. He stayed in the grave. But oh, oh, on the third day morning, that same Jesus got up from the grave for you and I. He rose.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.